for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Whether you're journeying down a rabbit hole or on a pilgrimage to Mecca, you're back with Pleb Underground, Walton, Phil, and Bitcoin Becca. What's up, guys?
Dude, love the intro. And that's right, we've got Bitcoin Becca joining us. Becca, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yay. All right, here we go. So look, we got some serious hopium and some shitcoin corner today, but first, we are diving into the numbers. Walton, who are these numbers brought to us by?
The numbers brought to us, of course, by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com. What's up, Ant?
There you go. That's right. Great job and amazing statistics. Don't forget to check it out. You heard Walton say the URL multiple times, timechainstats.com. Anyways, here we go. Let's dive into the numbers. At the time of this recording, the block height is 754,385. The Bitcoin price, 19,714. The Moscow time is 50:73. And the chain rewrite days, that's right, I changed it up a bit. Yeah, I changed up the, changed up the format. The chain rewrite days is 807. And the total public Lightning capacity, 4,786.29. The numbers.
Hey, so Phil, you've introduced this chain rewrite days as a new stat for Pleb Underground. Can you explain a little bit what that means to the list?
Saying it from
because
the beginning.
I totally know exactly what that means, and it's not for
but
me.
Essentially, yes, I absolutely can explain it. And I remember we had to explain this on another YouTube show that I was on before called Simply Bitcoin. So yes, chain rewrite days essentially is the number of days that it takes to essentially rewrite all the blocks in the chain. So if you were a malicious actor. At the current hash rate, it would take. Right now, okay, so you would need to own at least 51% of that hash rate for 807 days.
That makes sense because it's basically from my understanding, you're looking at the kind of cumulative hash over time, and of course the hash rate increasing over time thus means that the actual time to kind of rewrite at the current hash rate isn't going to be the entire time because you're at the highest ever hash rate or something like that, and so it'd be like indicating a rectangle instead of a curve. Anyway, I'm gonna stop talking math, but yeah, numbers, good numbers, Phil, thank you.
Right, good numbers, we like them. I think there was a lot of people that thought that when we were getting close to that, what was that, we were like getting close to 24k again or something like that. I don't even remember. And everybody was like, that's it, it's turning around. It's like, yeah, you don't really understand the Bitcoin bear market. That's not, and I hate saying, like, bear, I'm saying in quotations, because this is not a bear market. So look, let's continue on. We've got some fun topics for the stats. Becca, actually, you know what? Becca, do you have any thoughts on the stats?
Yes, my thoughts on the stats are...
Do you like the numbers, the Bitcoin numbers?
I love the numbers, and I love Moscow time number because it reminds you that stack sats and stay humble. Keep collecting.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, so let's take a look. We've got some funny stuff for the numbers. That's right. Here we go. All right. I always find it funny when you get these articles about... essentially about the internet, that the internet was going to destroy the world. I'm sure that, when electricity was first discovered, it was also going to destroy the world. And essentially every single disruptive technology that comes out is always, always going to destroy the world. Cars were also going to destroy the world. And on that note, I think this is a great topic for the numbers. Here we go. It's a tweet from @PaulISCI. A list of things people blamed on radio. Now, I have to be honest, I wasn't aware that anybody ever saw radio as a disruptive technology. technology. And I, you know what? That may be my own bias because I'm a Gen Xer. So for me, the crappy radio was always there. And it was like, yeah, if we don't have a TV, we could always use the radio. So for me, I never saw it as a disruptive technology. And I just think that this
is more than 100 years ago, right, Phil?
Yes, that's right. More than 100 years ago, I was a kid. And, you know.
No. This is about more than 100 years ago when people were complaining about radio.
No, I know. I'm just being an idiot. Okay. So yes, to Walton's point, right? 100 years ago, let's take a look. Take a look at some of the things. And we have to appreciate what some of the things that were that the radio was being blamed on. Radio blamed for loud talk. Apparently, loud talk was a big problem back then. Men becoming more feminine and women becoming more masculine. I got to be honest with you, that's wow from the radio. Okay, here we go. Radio blamed for drought. Does this sound familiar? When you're thinking about Bitcoin, right? Start to sound familiar, the ridiculous arguments that you get out of corporate-owned media.
Well, it sounds like maybe you have politicians that have some sort of collapse happening and they want to blame some new technology that can't respond for their problems.
And this is, I mean, to me, this is just the icing on the cake, right? It was just blamed for drought, and yet it's also blamed for rainfall. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, okay? Now we start to get even more. Somehow it gets more ridiculous if you could imagine that. The pesky radio blamed for spotted skin. That's right. So look, I guess what I'm trying to say is, when does Bitcoin get blamed for acne? And I mean, what so far it's being blamed, right? It's being blamed for everything that has to do with the environment. And we're going to end up seeing this a little bit later on, even in the Hopium segment, because we're going to cover this ridiculous piece, Greenpeace putting in an extra $1 million into fighting Bitcoin. But my point is that I never thought that radio was that disruptive. And yet here it is, destroying people's skin, causing too much rain, causing not enough rain. And then I look at Bitcoin and it's like, okay, so we've got countries where 90% of the energy being used for Bitcoin mining is coming from, I'm sorry, I'm totally losing the word. What's the word for the,
hydroelectric power?
Thank you. Hydroelectric power. But then they get blamed for the environment. So they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Okay, and actually, if you look at climate deaths over time, it's massively decreasing because people, you know, aren't living, on floodplains and things like this as much, or they're better protecting themselves, you know, from other sort of natural disasters. Like these things are decreasing over time, despite the alarmism.
You know what, though? We did cover last week that Bitcoin will be responsible for 19,000 future deaths if we don't prevent it. But, yeah, I bet you didn't know that, huh? The more we know. So Becca.
Hey, that's just, I'm sure Dieter's abortion clinics are going to do way more numbers than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Sure.
We're not talking about that.
We're going to cut that, sorry.
We're not talking about that. That's fucking terrible.
I had to get it out of my system, my bad.
Becca, what are your thoughts on the radio destroying humanity and what do you think of the parallels to Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, there's always, like you just said it, there was like some type of company or group of people that had their incentives like in whatever old technology they were using. And when the radio came along, there's just FUD. And it's like that with everything. It was the same like with cannabis, like how that became illegal, right? It was the, the guy had like a pulp paper mill or something, like that was his incentive. And then using hemp products like that would make it more efficient and cheaper and this and that. So there was all that FUD against cannabis. It's the same. Now it's with Bitcoin. It was with tobacco beforehand, right? Like, oh, doctors, 3 out of 5 doctors, you know, smoke Camels or Marlboro Lights. And there was always that FUD. So it's not surprising.
Camels are quite easy to smoke.
Yeah.
My favorite, you know what, to Becca's point, one of my favorite things to see is when they'd show you the ads with the pregnant women smoking and how it was helping with their pregnancy. I still remember being a kid, you know, being locked in my parents' car, right? And you'd ask them to put down the window while they're chain smoking one after another, like, be quiet back there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I can't breathe.
Yeah, see, and it's changed. So it's like that when there's a new technology that comes around and it's threatening like all of the major institutions, right? And it's just giving people that want to wake up and realize what Bitcoin is, like it's threatening them. So that's why they need to have this ridiculousness, you know, all the FUD that Bitcoin's bad for the environment and all, you know, all the BS they're pushing.
So what you're saying is the radio did not destroy humanity, and we should maybe be a little bit more open-minded towards Bitcoin.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. I like Very that a lot. Well. All right, Walton, what are your thoughts on the whole
radio
garbage news?
Video killed the radio star, and Bitcoin's gonna kill some bankers' bonuses. So go fuck yourselves.
Exactly.
Very well said. Very well said. We are wrapping up the stats, and we are going to dive on over into the Shitcoin Corner. The Shitcoin Corner is brought to you by Represent. Check them out, representltd.com. They've got some awesome clothes, great quality. I actually just got some new shirts, so I'm not just going to be showing the typical sweater I'm always showing. Here we go. Brand new shirts, very nice. Anyways, check them out, representltd.com. Walton always likes to remind us they even make a deck. So for the skaters out there, Crazy. You want to check so out an cool. awesome deck. That it's super cool. Representltd.com. All right, Walton, what do you got for us in the Shitcoin Corner?
Well, of course, this week, the big story, the ETH fork, right? I think they call it a merge, but to me, it's a fork, right? Like they're forking proof of work to proof of work and piece of shit, or like what? So, how is it a merge? I don't know. We're gonna have a look at some of the little stories in and around this. So, briefly, just another Pleb Underground community member, Simply Bitcoin, talking about how. World Economic Forum apologies runs an Ethereum merge article on the front page of their website. And of course, last week we talked about Mia Vitalik, my balls, whatever they're called. Like she's a WEF like lizard person, and that's why there's a frog here. I think I'm not sure what the cup of coffee is about, but you can ask those guys about that. Okay, also, my boy Phil here highlighting once again how Ethereum is highly centralized. Only two addresses controlling 46% of all the Ethereum piece of shit nodes for processing transactions post-merge.
You know they're calling this a success, right?
Excellent. Okay, and let's have a look at some of the finer details of the hard fork correctly reported, right? Not a merge, a hard fork. We have the SEC warning. It may be a security, of course. Vitalik's been advertising that for many years. The price has dropped 6%. I don't know which one they mean here, because again, it's a fork. I assume they mean the shit one. I mean, they're both
they
shit, but like the extra like left curve, like new one, whatever it's called. ETC hash rate, I assume that's Ethereum Classic. Is that the old Ethereum Classic, or is this the new yes. Ethereum Classic? I don't know. You know,
the
there's
old
a lot
Ethereum
of confusion
classic.
Over there. Some new, okay, ATH. So I guess it's a hash rate. It's got to be a proof of work one. But again, do they mean the old Ethereum Classic or the new Ethereum Classic? Okay, mempool seems stuck, but no one knows, because of course no one's running any nodes, and four validators control everything. So, it's a complete shitstorm, but we knew that already because we're Bitcoiners, and Ethereum is. Some people call it, what do they call it? The asshole from where all the other shitcoins come. I prefer to describe it as the WeWork of scam startups, each to their own. But yeah, it's a complete disaster. What do you think?
Oh boy, where to start? Where to start on the ETH merge? Yeah, this was actually touted as a success. Okay, so to your point about the price drop, I think that that's very significant. We actually said multiple times that this was going to be a giant nothing burger and that this was a sell the news event. Bitcoiners all over have been saying this for I don't know how long, and that is exactly what happened. It was a giant nothing burger, okay? Now it just ETH became even more centralized, more easy to control. And on top of that, the value of the token that you shouldn't be holding as a store of value is now worth less. Now, the other funny part about this, okay, is the second bullet point.
I mean, it was always worthless, but now it's worth less.
Bingo. It's a good way to put it. But what's funny about that tweet from Alpha Zeta is the ETC hash rate hitting an all-time high. Okay, this just goes to show you, like, ETC, I believe, takes 3,000 confirmations to match Bitcoin's security of 3 confirmations, I think, or 6 confirmations. I don't remember. But my point is that that thing has been 51% attacked multiple times. The fact that these people were willing to go and point their hash rate to this shitcoin and to try to continue to save, to salvage whatever it was that they had, this is hilarious. Okay, it's hilarious, and it just goes to show that all of this is a ridiculous charade that makes absolutely no sense, that all it does is separate people from their, you know, hardworking people from their money, which is supposed to represent their time, which is now just getting frittered away. So I'm sorry, but to me, I don't consider this a success. You know, the other point to this is that they're also going to clean up the energy usage, right? They're moving to proof of stake, or like you called it, Walton, piece of shit. Boom, that's it. They just cleaned up their act. Now they are extremely environmentally friendly. And you'll never guess. I actually saw an article. I forget who it was by, but they were actually mentioning that by cleaning up their energy usage by 99.95% was not enough. They need to do more. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It's a shit chain that doesn't need to exist, and it's an affinity scam that essentially cons people into keeping their money into other shit forks that are built inside of it. So none of this needs to exist. And then on top of that, they're saying that it needs to be even more efficient. So I find this comical. Anyways,
The World Economic Forum, they want to reduce, you know, the. You they want to reduce the humans, and certainly Ethereum will certainly you know help you to own nothing and not be very happy.
Oh, absolutely. Becca, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, don't Ethereum, just save your time and energy in Bitcoin. Like, I don't follow any of this stuff because it's so ridiculous. Like, how many Ethereum classics are there now? It makes no sense to me why people want to gamble with their time and energy on such foolishness. Like, just save in Bitcoin. And I don't let you people that want to, I guess, gamble, go have fun getting wrecked, have fun getting surveilled by WEF, have fun being allocated social credit points. Like, if this is what you want, like, I don't know how else to wake these people up that are, you know, cheering this on. So just don't shitcoin.
That actually rather neatly helps me segue into my second topic for Shitcoin Corner, which is, of course, the shitcoiner that you're dating, Becca. I have a few questions. Let me have a look. Yeah, so my understanding is that you're going to get married, and I imagine you're going to say something like, you know, love is eternal, like, you know, a message stored in the Bitcoin time chain. And he'll say something like XRP until we RIP or something like this. Like, how do you envisage your future life with a shitcoiner? Can you explain this to me?
Well, I am envisioning once everything crashes and shitcoins burn up in incinerate and are gone, then Bitcoin is all that's left. And then I can stand there and be like, I told you so. You should have just listened to me. But instead, you wanted to gamble your money away. Like, he works hard and that's his money. I can't tell him what to do with it. You know, I mean, he Bitcoins too. But yeah, he's a degenerate gambler. He loves.
You think he has a higher time preference than you? Because I think it's quite rare for successful relationships where the man has a higher time preference than the woman.
Well, his time preference is, it's, you know, get as wealthy as you can in any way possible, I guess, is maybe and one way of
putting it. Is he a fiat maxi or does he account in Bitcoin?
Is he
a fiat maxi? Like, does he think in dollars or Canadian dollars or,
it's,
I don't know,
thinking,
gold? What is he thinking?
Yeah, gold. He's a gold miner. So, you know, he works with explosives and, you know, he sees, I don't know, like, it's not my thing. I'm happy. He provides a home for me. He feeds me, takes me on holidays.
I didn't know he was going to attack you, Becca, just so you know.
Wait, this is an attack? Like, hey, I thought words are words. Obviously, you're not accountable for his actions, but I was just trying to get some insight into what it's like kind of living with a shitcoiner. Like, are they good with technology in the home? Do they do high risk things in the home? Like, what are they like? What sort of creatures are they?
I mean, they're very interesting creatures, and living with him for the past almost 9 years has made me realize is you just don't really talk about those things. Like, you know, I cook, I make a good meal, I keep the home clean, you know, that we, you know, I do that, I let him be, and I try to, you know, bring books in, like he's read, you know, a ton of books, all the books we're supposed to read, Layered Money, When Money Dies. He just, like, he's German, so he understands that. Like, his grandmother lived through 4 currencies, and my grandma in Switzerland lived through 1 currency. Like, he, you know, he has that experience, family stories, like, he understands what happens when, your money gets inflated away and society like degrades into what happened in Germany, right? And he understands that against government, like they have a monopoly on violence. Like you as one part, like what am I gonna do if Trudeau, like if he comes in with 20 people and guns in my face, like I can't do anything. Sure, I have Bitcoin, but it's not going to save me from the violence, like the world that we live in now. And like, he gets that. And that's why he's like, Bitcoin's not going to save you guys. Like we still live in the world now and how it is and fiat runs it. So I don't know. He's just sees that and places his cards and bets where he sees fit. I'm not here to tell him put everything on red 7.
we're all for sovereignty here. Absolutely. Yeah. Each to their own, I guess.
Yeah. So.
But you've mentioned Europe. Certainly I'm on the outskirts of Europe is certainly a shitcoin and is certainly experiencing you know, some hyperinflation that looks a bit like the beginning, kind of the late 20s, you know, or early to mid 20s period, sorry, of the 1920s. The price of gold back then looks pretty similar to kind of what European energy prices are currently doing. You recently journeyed around Europe, I believe. What was it like? Does it seem different than when you were last year? Do you notice? Because I feel like I noticed. I've been traveling. I was away the last week, just in the UK. But like, I everywhere I look, I see little bits of inflation here and here. Like all these different businesses that for years have been cutting the quality of their materials if they haven't been increasing the cost or cutting the size or, you know, replacing things in generally in negative ways that, yeah, you maybe you're paying the same, but it's, you know, just really not what you used to buy. Do you notice these things more in Europe or more in North America from your travels?
That's a good question. I mean, I noticed it in Europe, and like you said, we were in Germany and then went to Croatia. In Croatia, like they're now going to be introducing the euro. Like they're taking on the euro currency January 2023. So
that's an interesting decision.
Yeah, like so we'll see. Like we were in a tourist area, and then we went a little bit outside of the tourist area by Split. So
did
more
you visit
small
Tony?
Town. Pardon?
Did you visit Tony?
No, he was in a whole different like part of Croatia than where we were at, and because we were like we friends' wedding and all this stuff, so like we had our stuff planned. But you could see like so in Split. And then the town outside, there was easily, I'd say 40 to 50%, it was cheaper in outside of the touristy area, which kind of makes sense, but still so cheap compared to Germany still, and then Canada. Like Canada, the prices here are absolutely outrageous. Like one example, like when I was in Germany, you know, basic face wash or something like this, it's like, you know, €3 there, a Nivea one, and it's like $7 over here. And you just think like it's literally the exact same product, but this is like, it just shows how different the value holds in these different currencies. So, you know, just seeing that sort of price difference, and then just talking to the people there, like just regular people in Germany, like they're all so sick of this, all the stuff the politicians are doing with their net zero, going green, shutting down the nuclear plants, like demonizing oil and gas, and now they're paying the price for it. But the regular people, like they're there, they have to go fill up their gas tanks. The thing in Germany is like you're paid once a month there. Like people are already struggling. Like they've been struggling since the euro came in 2000. And one, two, whenever it was. And it's just progressively they've seen their standard of living just get lower and lower and lower. But that's kind of the purpose of what the EU is to bring everyone to that same standard of living. And it's not the standard of living of Germans. It's going to be like the lowest like country there. They're trying, you know, they're doing this. They want everyone on the same level. You proles and then just, you know, the political elite and cantillionaire class just benefiting from your life force essentially. And the people are starting to wake up with the past since 2020, you know, everything that's happened, like more people are waking up and seeing this and really, you know, they're starting to ask more questions like why is all this happening. So I mean that's good, but it's a hot mess. Like you can't just turn like there was a German delegation that came all the way to Canada to come beg for energy from here. Like we're supposed to now go ship oil, like gas over to Germany now. It's like what? No, this is so ridiculous. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'll be making memes.
I'm like really, I'm really surprised. I didn't, I guess I wasn't expecting, right, to hear that people are waking up that quickly. But thank God, right? Thank God that it is that, you know. That
I do feel
happening.
People are waking up to inflation everywhere. Like now that it's hitting commodities, now that it's hitting like, you know, the things that people buy regularly, fuel, food. I mean, food this year. Just wait for food next year after Europe and North America have been struggling with fertilizer this year. Like, just wait for food prices next year, guys. But, yeah, like, Europe is a shitcoin. Germany is a shitcoin. You fucked us on energy. We're all fucked. But, hey, we got Bitcoin. Go fuck yourselves. Thank you. And all of you EU people, like, you're all cucks.
I think that once the food all becomes cricket-based, everything will just balance itself out.
Oh yeah, for sure. It'll be great.
Yeah, I'll still be eating beef jerky, so yeah,
exactly.
So fuck you, yeah.
A lot of people that aren't falling for this diet, for this nonsense. Anyways, is that everything for the shitcoin corner?
Yeah, and fuck shitcoins.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. Fuck shitcoins. Brought to you by Walton, sponsored by Pleb Underground. Anyways. All right. Moving on, we are gonna go and dive into some hopium.
Okay, up next, guys, we have the hopium brought to us by Crypto Cloaks. That's CryptoCloaks.com. You can get 5% off there if you use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND. If you see my beautiful assistant here has one of their honey badgers inside a secret drawer where you can keep a signing device, or Phil has his dice to generate some entropy. Very important stuff. More entropy in your security, less entropy in your life. Or you can buy one of those little charger things if you're on the go and need access to your signing device. Once again, that's CryptoCloaks.com. 5% off with Pleb Underground. Phil, what are you hopeful about today?
I don't know if I'm so hopeful as much as I'm full of hopium. It's a little bit different, I guess. But I like the way you worded that. Very positive, and I appreciate your positivity. All right, let's dive into it. We are going to take a look first, something really quick before we actually dive into the proper story, right? Because there is going to be a proper story that we're actually going to cover. But before
positivity is always good as long as it's not HIV positivity, right, Phil?
That's HIV positive. So for the people that watch enough South Park, you understand that joke. Otherwise, it just flew over your head, and that's okay. Not everybody watches South Park. All right, which I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if I can really say that. I feel like everybody.
Yeah, why don't you watch South Park, people? I want to hear from you.
Exactly. Put it in the comments. Tell us why you don't watch South Park. You should. Anyways, yeah. They've made fun of everything, and they've been able to get away with it scot clean. So, yeah. Mad respect to Matt Parker and.
And South Park Trish is Stone. Better than Family Guy. If you disagree, you're wrong. Come fight me.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Break something over here. All right, we've got a tweet from Kayla Gardner. Here we go. My Amtrak train conductor just now. We don't take Bitcoin as of yet, but we're open. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, of course, obviously, why is this hopium? Because this is a everyday use case, and this is a place where you wouldn't expect a Bitcoin conversation to take place, and in most cases, you wouldn't expect that response. So, you've got real-world people talking about Bitcoin saying, hey, we don't take it yet, but we're open to taking it. And then we've got people like Greenpeace who are not open to taking Bitcoin, want nothing to do with it, really. They wanna destroy it. Why? I'm not really sure. But anyways, tweet from Bitcoin Magazine. Greenpeace spent $1 million in new change the code ads to intensify their attack on Bitcoin's proof of work. Okay, now before we dive into this, because I wanted to go find the article for this, right? Because like, I mean, this is a good clickbaity type of title, and you want to know like where did this come from. But before we dive into that, so change the code is a very interesting social attack, okay? Because essentially what it does is it attempts to create the idea, okay, that a small group of people and people who were here in the last, who were here from 2016 on will remember the BCH fork and the New York Agreement and all of these things. But this idea that a small group of people can coerce Bitcoin and decide to make it different, okay? And that's just not how Bitcoin works. So this change the code BS is nothing but a social attack, and it often drags in people that don't understand Bitcoin and shitcoiners. Anyways, let's go take a look at the actual article.
Well, what's interesting is it's a use of energy, because of course if you're paying for ads, you're actually you're paying for a company to serve packets of data to people's phones. So you've got phones and a load of data centers using a load of energy to imprint these ads for zero value. Bitcoin preserves truth with its value, with its energy. Sorry, I meant for energy. With its energy. They're wasting a load of energy to do nothing. Bitcoin is using energy, not using energy, transforming energy into heat, predominantly physics.
Yep.
To preserve truth. To preserve truth. Greenpeace, like, you should be looking at the whales walking on the high streets. It's disgusting. Send them back to the ocean.
But you know what though? Just wait, because this is complete nonsensical crap. Okay, here we go. Let's dive into the article from Greenpeace.org that talks about this $1 million. All right, so here we go. Climate groups to Bitcoin. I don't know who they're talking to. I find that funny. Bitcoin, you should be listening. Okay, cut the pollution and the BS. I'm sorry, but when I read this initially, I'm like, who do they think they're talking to? Like, who's listening? Who's on the other end? Where's Mr. or Mrs. or they Bitcoin or whatever Bitcoin? Who is this? Anyways, all right, so here we go. Here we go. Ethereum's long-awaited merge. That's right, we go back to Walton's shitcoin corner. Ethereum's long-awaited merge to proof of stake or piece of shit consensus mechanism. Here we go. That number again. That number that came up last week, the number that came up in Walton's segment and comes up in Greenpeace. But yet, none of them actually cite any report. And I asked for this in the comments last week. If somebody could please point us to the official report that shows us the breakdown of how Ethereum uses 99.95% less energy, I would be much obliged. I'd like to read it on the show. Anyways, leaving Bitcoin as the largest cryptocurrency using the outmoded high energy proof of work consensus mechanism. Now you gotta give them some credit. Right? Because they understand, they first of all, they understand how smart people are, but they also understand how stupid we are. Because that word, outmodded, right? That kind of helps with the people that play a lot of video games and stuff like that. You know about mods. Okay. So right away it helps to create this perception that, you know, Bitcoin's this old technology that needs to be fixed. And don't get me wrong, this is not a new FUDing point. This is a BS FUDing point that was here back in 2017 and 2016, I was one of the people that fell for this because I have a tech background, or I should say my tech background allowed me to believe that I could figure out why this was true, right? That the tech is too old. This is what happens when you don't understand money. This is what happens when you don't understand Bitcoin. And you sit there and you think, I need to get on to the best and fastest tech, not realizing that tech is constantly changing, which means you will have to sit there and buy every single new coin all the time because you're constantly chasing the tech. And all of that tech doesn't even exist. It's not even real. Mostly vaporware. Anyways, here we go. Change the Code, Not the Climate campaign will now intensify its efforts with the 1 million in new online advertisements, okay? So here we go. This is some nonsensical bullshit. Let's go. With fires raging around the world and historic floods destroying lives and livelihoods, state and federal leaders and corporate executives are racing to decarbonize as quickly as possible. Ethereum has shown it's possible to switch to an energy-efficient protocol with far less climate, air, and water pollution. Oh, bless their hearts. Other cryptocurrency protocols have operated on efficient consensus mechanisms for years. Just years. You know? Bitcoin has become the outlier, defiantly refusing to accept its climate responsibility. That's right. Bitcoin is defiantly refusing to accept its climate responsibility. Oh, that is some serious, that is some serious bullshit. So he, you know what I mean? He
Wait,
is
from Michael Bruin, yeah, that gets no poon.
He's the director.
Oh, what a surprise.
Walton. But I mean, I want you guys to think about this. So they're petitioning an entity that doesn't exist. Okay? They're petitioning an entity that doesn't exist for a problem that they are trying to solve that they manufactured that they get paid to battle. It's the mindfuck behind all of this is completely, completely insane. Okay? And the one thing that they don't mention is this.
Phil, it's
everything
almost
else
like,
can be coerced. What's up, Walton?
It's almost like Bitcoin is a system where you have aligned incentives and shitcoins just exist, and shitcoiners just exist to try and create systems where they have incentives that they can abuse at the expense of the masses, confuse with dishonest behavior, and just complete lack of intellectual honesty. Like, I really hate these guys. Like, just fuck off. Like, leave us alone. We, like, although, actually, I don't even care. Like, come at us. Fuck you. Yellow, help me out here. I can't decide. Do we fight these guys? Are they, or do we just ignore them?
Well, we definitely fight and we build, right? But, yes. You know, this is the thing about this. They always make sure to leave out why proof of work is so important, because if people understood why proof of work was so important, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So what they do is they bring you the invisible boogeyman of climate change. See, the thing about proof of work is that specifically in Bitcoin, and this is why it matters in Bitcoin, is that they can't go and they can't create any new coins out of thin air. Okay, they have to go and contribute to the ecosystem just like everyone else. When you join Bitcoin, you join an ecosystem as an equal like everyone else. It is a voluntary network that you can choose to join or choose to leave. It is truly the most inclusive form, truly the most inclusive ledger in history. Anyways, we're gonna wrap this up here. Because then we're going to get onto some fun stuff with Becca and the BT Weekly and Plebeian Market. Okay, so here we go. Wrapping this one up. Change the Code, Not the Climate is a campaign launched by the environmental working group Greenpeace USA and several local organizations to push Bitcoin, its miners and investors to support a change in software code that could shed the intensive use and reliance on dirty sources of electricity. Now, I find this absolutely hilarious, okay? Because first of all, anybody just has to do some research into how into the creation, the production of the windmills, okay? Number one, the production of solar panels, talking about the hard metals that it takes to make these lithium ion batteries. I forget the countless articles about all these kids that are getting poisoned essentially working in these mines, trying to get these rare earth metals so that they can make all of this. Listen, this is complete bullshit. All this is a low energy future that they're trying to get you to buy so that a small group of people can use and abuse the energy the way they see fit. And they become the people holding the cards. And it just goes back and continues the same shitty proof of stake system that we already have. Now, you're thinking, why wasn't this in the shitcoin corner? The reason why I have so much hopium, why this is all hopium, is because this tells us this is another notch in the Bitcoin belt, the digital Bitcoin belt, that lets you know that Bitcoin is the real thing. You have organizations that are willing to spend $1 million to try to get you to change something, not for your benefit, but for their benefit. Against us, to control us.
Phil, so you know what?
We're still winning, and this is major proof that we're still winning.
One thing that's slightly confusing is that shitcoiners typically have high time preference, or rather, shitcoiners. It's hard to distinguish here. The kind of shitcoin scammers essentially take advantage of the high time preference of, you know, leftovers predominantly, but you know, there's a lot of midwits in there as well. Nonetheless. And maybe some intelligent people, but the shitcoin scammers actually have very low time preference, especially when it comes to Ethereum, right? Ethereum is essentially the slowest rug pull in shitcoin history, and so I guess for that there's something to be impressed about, maybe.
You look a little confused there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shitcoinery. Like, it's all very confusing. I don't really understand it.
Nobody does.
You're not meant to.
Listen, there's a reason. There's a reason why there are so many flashing lights and all kinds of fancy little ornaments and all of this stuff to keep you entertained. And the reason is that if you stop to pay attention, you realize that you're standing in a circus. Like, that's what this is. It is the circus of shit coins. The people selling you this crap are a bunch of clowns. And you know what? Like, unfortunately, they're stealing your time.
The irony of what we always going to that circus. The irony is that if you keep going to that circus, you won't be able to afford bread.
That's a very good point. All right, Becca, that was a very long, drawn-out story on how Greenpeace is trying to screw us with the ESG narrative. As a memer, what are your thoughts on Greenpeace?
I mean, they make great meme material. So, I mean, if they want to be throwing $1 million at Twitter and Instagram and Meta to advertise how bad Bitcoin is, sure, go ahead. We'll just keep on memeing you back. Like, there's endless Greenpeace, Christine Lagarde, IMF, WEF, all these folks that want to control us. They keep, bring it. We'll keep memeing. Bam, another one and another. So just know it's FUD. Bitcoin's the real thing. Everything that is worth it has proof of work built into it. Like our food, our lives, everything. So we can't just switch over and think some POS system is going to make, it's going to work for us now.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. All right. Smoking if bud. Nobody has, oh, sorry, Walton?
Smoking bud and dealing with FUD. This is Pleb Underground.
I like that. Look at that. You've got the rhymes going on today, huh? Okay, so we are gonna. So we're done with the hopium right now, and we are gonna move on to our discussion with Becca.
Sometimes being on Twitter makes you feel like you should have a helmet on. Now you can get a helmet, or at least one that looks like a kind of Hodlernaut type helmet from CryptoCloaks. And actually, if you use the code Pleb Underground, you get 5% off there. The Hodlernaut helmet, 50% of the income, I believe, or the profits, one of the two. I'm not on the details for this one. Go to the Hodlernaut campaign, defendingbtc.com. We're all standing with Hodlernaut in his current trial. Fuck you, CSW, you're a fraud. But yeah, when you, Bitcoin Twitter is a hectic place. Get the helmet on, get fighting, and maybe you, humble pleb, can one day appear on the cover of the glossiest mag in Bitcoin Twitter. And of course, that's BT Weekly. We're here with its editor and other, you know, person. I think there's only her. Becca, tell us more.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I am editor-in-chief. I am head copywriter. I am head graphic designer. I'm everything of BT.
Head sandwich maker.
Yes, hair and makeup. I am it all. Head memer and sandwich maker. Yes, if you create enough drama on Bitcoin Twitter, you can be featured on my very successful magazine. Start a fight with other plebs? I love that. Go to conferences, make inappropriate comments? Great, we love that. Get married on the beach? BT Weekly is here for it.
Okay, so, all right. I mean, so it's a satire. It's a digital satire publication?
Yes, it's how I view Bitcoin Twitter. Through my eyes, and I present it to all of you fabulous people out there. And it actually helps maybe, you know, get some normies interested in Bitcoin and Bitcoin Twitter and what we do here. So, you know, this is how I'm spreading the Bitcoin message.
I have to say that I personally love BT Weekly. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, this is absolutely amazing. Right, it's like the Inquirer or the Examiner or the Observer, whatever, you know, whichever one, you know, you grew up reading, or in my case, all three of them, because my mother loves that stuff. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, Becca's a genius. But I realized very quickly that there were not, you know, that there weren't so many people on the left side of the curve like me that felt that way. And somehow people started to become offended. In BT Weekly.
Yeah, people were offended, are offended, and I think that means I'm onto something. So, you know, it's just, yeah, you know, you got to put on your helmet, put your gear on, and, you know, hop into Bitcoin Twitter. We're toxic here, but toxicity is what makes us strong. So, and we need it. We need thick skin to battle this battle that we're all in against centralized forces that are trying to control us. So a good, having a laugh here and there, it's healthy for all of us because we know how crazy Clown World is, so, you know.
Did you expect people to, some people to get so butthurt? I mean, don't get me wrong, it's, you know, for when, we're going to put a link to it in the show notes, but you can clearly see it's for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, I mean, it is for entertainment. Like I said, we all need to laugh. We have to be able to laugh at ourselves, too. We can't be just super serious all the time. So, but, you know, if people are angry and upset, you know, there's a mute. There's a block. Just hit it. And then BT Weekly's out of your life. And you can keep on living the fabulous engagement farming lives that some people, you know, need to survive.
So, based on the engagement and the welcome that you've gotten, is this something that you're going to stick to doing?
Yes. So,
it's not just a bear market thing, right?
No. This is, I'm building in the bear market. So we're building this foundation. Yes. Step three. No, step one, stack. Step two, fight. Step three, build. So
I'm
building.
Yeah.
It'll be a weekly. It's weekly. So my goal is every Tuesday, it will be out for all of us to enjoy. So, and with the webpage, you know, I'm trying to make it a little bit more interactive, and with BT Weekly Pets, you know, it's just, it's for fun, you guys. It's all in good nature.
Becca, did you call it BT Weekly just to remind you how often you had to do it?
Yes, because I need that. But, you know, we, our board and everyone that works at BT Weekly, we took a nice 3-week extended break, did some intensive workshops, so we've got lots of new things coming out. So stay tuned Tuesday.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, so hold on a second. There is something else that you are working on or that we were going to take a look at, and that is, here we go, plebeian.market. And look, you know, let's just go right into it. What is the plebeian market? Who started it? Why? All that good stuff.
Okay, so plebeian market, I didn't start this. I recently came on board, and I'm helping. It's Dr. Hoddle Rocks, Chief Monkey. He's the one behind this, his little project in Brainchild, and we have a few others on the team. So essentially, you guys, it's on lightning. So I don't know, some people may have heard lightning's a failure, but it's not for plebeian market. What it is, it's a eBay that's built on lightning, where plebs like myself, Walton, Phil, anyone watching, you can go and sell your stuff. And it's not just for artists or like how scarcity is like an auction house. It's similar but different. It's more like a flea market type of an idea on lightning, where you can go and bid whatever you have to sell. You can go and sell it, make a little auction, and there's lots of like new features that are being rolled out on it, where if you're a creator or you have a product that you're selling, for example, say you make face cream, or, you know, with tallow, and you're selling a product, you can list it on the site and have fixed price items. So we're like rolling this out. So yeah, we're building a network for plebs to buy and sell, and it's all on Lightning. It's very exciting. So I encourage everyone to check it out.
So apparently Lightning works. That's you're the second person that I hear that from, that Lightning works. I'm kidding. Obviously, you know, we know this, but for some reason, there's certain people in the Bitcoin community that just want to. I understand if people don't want to use it, but to say that it's a failure is kind of.
But also, keep criticizing. Like criticism, yeah. Good criticism is how we make things better. Like it's an important part of the cycle. Yeah.
I also think that plebeian market definitely needed. I can honestly say, as an eBayer myself, I should take a look at this more, and I should give it a shot, because I do
have some questions
to sell,
though.
So may as well do it.
Is there a kind of what do you call it? Not custom. What escrow sort of aspect to it? How does the dynamics of it work?
Okay, so how it works, like plebeian market doesn't touch your money at all. We have nothing to do with it. What happens is there's an item that you bid on, and it costs you 21 sats to bid on it, and it's through a lightning-enabled wallet that you place the bid. But once, if you win the auction or you're purchasing a fixed price item, you can do the settlement like through the through Lightning or on chain as well, and it's in between the buyer and seller. Plebeian.
So it's a paid message board, essentially.
Yes,
focused on commerce. Cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
I like
yeah
that.
That's what we're building out there, and like I said, you could sell anything you want on it, not just products, your time too, you know, if you're a graphic designer
anything?
Or you're yes
is this the new Silk Road?
Well, we are not encouraging any type of illegal things in any jurisdictions that people may live in. So, but
so
you're
be cautious.
Here, so you know.
Oh, that's
three letter agencies, GFY.
Oh, Walton. Good times. No, but look. But look, this is definitely needed. It's nice to see. Stupid question. Do you have any, is there any plans or any discussion to accept on-chain payments? Or is this really Lightning only?
Well, this like final settlement can be done on-chain. That's
oh,
in between.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just, to place a bid on the auction part of the site, you need a lightning enabled wallet to place your bid. But once, if you, like I said, if you win the auction, then you can do final settlement on chain as well, because it's in between the buyer and the seller.
Very cool, very yeah. cool. All right, Walton, do you have any more questions for Becca before we wrap up?
So what can you currently buy on there? Are you selling anything on there? Do you to be a seller, do you have to set up an account, or is it just you post a message and you say I'm selling this, that's 21 sats, simple as that.
Okay, good question. So to create an account on there, what you need is a Twitter account that's at least 100 or 210 days old, and we did that so scammers can't just, you know, spin up a Twitter account and all of a sudden post all this stuff and somehow it's a scam. So they have it like that. So 210 days old Twitter account and a Lightning enabled wallet or just through a Lightning node. And then you get verified. So when I was doing it, like I just verified myself with my Twitter account and through Breeze wallet. And then you scan the QR code, and then it you're able to log in and create your account. And once you're there, if you have something to sell, like say I have this wallet, which I was playing around and made a Don't Stop Believing. See our beautiful friend Yellow here. I would just simply take a few pictures, you know, make sure it's nice. I go in and you just, you know, put a little description, and then you make a tweet, and then from that tweet, it'll sort of link it onto the plebeian market, and then you can pick how long you want to have the auction for, you know, 1 day, 7 days, you know, a half an hour, whatever, like, it's all up to you, you can decide, and then how long it runs, and then also, you know, if you want to have a reserve price, like a certain price, at, you know, you can set that in sats, and then it shows in dollars. So like both sats and dollars are on there, just because, you know, most people aren't always thinking in sats terms. But
quick yeah. question on the Twitter account kind of linking aspect. I imagine, you know, there's a bunch of memers that like selling, you know, want to sell a variety of things. Now memers often get banned on Twitter. If a memer sets up an account, what happens if they get banned on Twitter? And also, are you discriminating against memers by not allowing the frequently banned to be sellers on your site?
This is a very good question, Walton. And it's just the way that it's set up with that 210 days for the Twitter account. So I would suggest if you are frequently getting banned and would like to use the marketplace that maybe try not getting banned for 210 days. But yeah.
Discrimination. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Mimas, you can't sell stuff. You guys don't even exist anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, I know. We're all being deleted out of the Matrix, so sorry to disappoint you, Walton.
Well, I mean, like, Mimas, if you keep getting banned and you want to post on the site, I'll do it for you, and if you cut me in. All right, deal.
There you go. Yeah.
Walton's
Thank
always
you.
A businessman, huh?
Yeah.
Always a businessman.
Whew.
All right, so look. Plebeian Market, we will have a link to that in the show notes. Plebs, this was the episode of today's Pleb Underground. Don't forget to check us out on plebunderground.com. That's where our Substack is. You could see all of the awesome articles that we release every single day. We retweet Becca's BT Weekly there every time she comes out with one. And of course, whenever Walton holds the Bitcoin Council of Autism, we retweet. So don't forget to check out that space. Don't forget to check out BT Weekly. Don't forget to check out Plebeian Market. And of course, don't forget to check us out. We drop our episodes every Monday. It's a weekly show. Thank you all.